Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, found in your pew Bibles on page 75 and 97 in the large print edition. This is the word of God for us. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of God for the people of God. In the backyard of the first house I remember living in, there was a mulberry tree, and it was enormous. It was cool underneath its branches, completely shaded by the dense leaves, and it was on the south side of the house. It filtered the evening sun as it washed over the kitchen. I remember the juicy berries as they would stain my fingers dark purple. And I remember some of the pinkish red berries that were on their way to becoming purple. In my memory, this tree reached all the way up to the sky. Of course, I was still too small to go to school, so my perspective might have been a little off. In today's gospel passage, Jesus talks about commanding mulberry trees to uproot themselves and plant themselves in the sea. Now, we are so familiar with the comparison of a tiny bit of faith to a monumental deed like moving mountains or commanding trees that I wonder if we even still notice the absurdity of this image. So, picture a mulberry tree with its dense canopy and its deep root system pulling itself free of the earth. And then, somehow, walking or crawling or however a tree would move, dragging itself to the sea. And next, sinking its roots down into the sea floor at its new location. And henceforth, mulberries will be gathered by boat. When the apostles make demands of Jesus, I get nervous. And here they exclaim, "Increase our faith." And Christ replies with the mustard seed and the mulberry tree story to chide them. They already have plenty of faith. They just have to learn to trust and rely on that faith. In Luke's gospel, this absurd idea takes place in a string of instructions that Jesus is teaching regarding living in community. The precautions include not tempting others in the same community to sin, warning one another when we witness sin in each other's lives, and forgiving each other as many times as it takes, even 7 times in one day, if you are asked. And this is when the apostles blurt out, "Increase our faith," seeing themselves as leaders in this new community that Jesus is forming, they know that they will need to be exemplars of this behavior, and they know that it will be a challenge. And in their insecurity, they cry out for more faith. So Jesus chides them. He knows that they have faith. So in the Greek, there's this nuance to the word if, as it's used here. And the translation might be better understood, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and you do. So Jesus is reassuring them, you don't need any more faith to do what I have chosen you to do. The tiniest amount of faith in God, even a mere mustard seed worth, is enough to make the impossible possible. With the teeniest measure of faith in the Creator, the absurd can be made real. Faith empowers lives of discipleship. And then our Redeemer shifts to language of servanthood. Now, we no longer have the same paradigm of master-slave relationship in society. There is some subtlety here that we just won't be able to understand because we didn't grow up with this social system. But when Christ asks, who would invite their slave to their place at the table after a day's work, the answer is no one. Slaves are not invited to the table because that is not their place. It is part of their duty to fix supper for the master, no matter what they have done all day. We might say those are the requirements of the job, but it is more essential to their survival than that. If a slave fails to perform duties to the master's satisfaction, then they are removed from the household permanently. A slave may perform well today, but there are no merits in this system. Tomorrow, they still wake up a slave. There is an inescapable part of this relationship that goes beyond the hierarchy of boss and worker. And that part can be compared to birth order. So no matter what the little sister does, she cannot change that she is younger than the big brother. She could be smarter. She could be more athletic. She could make more money. She could produce more grandchildren. But she will always be the little sister to the big brother. That simply cannot be changed. And in the slave-master framework, the slave is like the little sister. The servant will never get ahead of the master. And yet, Jesus comes to us as one who serves, and our task as followers is to be servants of God and one another. Now, the amount of our faith does not impact our merit in the eyes of God. Rather, our role as faithful servants is to serve today and tomorrow using the mustard seed of faith we have, fueled by God's unfathomable power. And it is God's love that flips the relationship to be a relationship and a partnership, so that we are no longer bound but free to serve. From the Hebrew scriptures today, we hear from the lesser known prophet Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk trusts God enough to cry out honestly, saying, how long will violence and destruction continue? When, Lord, will you hear my plea and restore justice to your people? And this is lament. It is something we often forget that we can do. It is an honest way of being in relationship with God. And it takes faith to reach out to God with this level of vulnerability. So think for a moment of your ordinary relationships. How often do we actually talk about the things that are deeply disturbing us? How often is it more efficient to say that everything is fine? Who can we share with when we find ourselves facing adversity? Hopefully, our most intimate friends earn that kind of trust. And God longs to be in that kind of relationship with us. In Habakkuk's day, God's people were facing war and assimilation by their long-time enemy, the Chaldeans. In the face of this obliteration and desperation, the prophet cries out. And then the prophet waits faithfully for an answer. God's response comes. There is still a vision for the appointed time. And in the meantime, look at the proud and see. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Faithfulness requires trust, dependence, and clinging closely to God. So how much faith do we need? We need enough to move mulberry trees. But that is only a tiny mustard seed of faith. Today we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Christians all over the world will gather around the elements of bread and cup and share the meal in remembrance of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We have carried this ritual across generations, across geographical space, from elegant cathedrals to the barest of rooms. And today, in faith, we know that God is with us in all of these gatherings as we share the bread of life. To the Lord our God, Alpha and Omega, be all glory and honor forever. Amen.